Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship-winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media, at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Jake Fromm, we've made it. It is a Thursday morning, a hot and steamy Thursday morning right here in Atlanta, Georgia, but the college football season is finally here. Tons of games tonight, games all through the weekend, even ending on Monday night. It is Labor Day weekend, college football here, season 8 of Punt and Pass. I know we had a blast on the kickoff show that came out on Tuesday, but dude, I'm so fired up. How are you, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm a little bit more fired up about this one. I mean, obviously, we kicked things off you know, earlier in the week, but this now we get to get into the games. We get to start talking about it. It's really opening up. It's here. You can almost smell it. You can almost taste it. Saturday's almost here, man. It kicks off obviously with Georgia and Clemson, and man, I can't wait. It's going to be a great weekend.
I can't wait either. It's kicking off, and there's no better way to kick the college football season off than getting on to Prize Picks. That's right. This episode of Punt and Pass and every Thursday episode of Punt and Pass throughout the entire season is exclusively presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. And guess what? I think this is the sixth season Prize Picks has been a partner of Punt and Pass. Cool story. I got to be on a panel with founder and CEO of Prize Picks, Adam Wexler, a great Georgia Bulldog, at their all-pack summer meetings in Atlanta. And he was asking me about what it's been like to be a partner. Very, very cool. Longtime partner, longtime supporter. We love Prize Picks. Here is how you can show love to us and to Prize Picks as well. Download the Prize Picks app and use the promo code PUNT, P-U-N-T. Use the promo code PUNT when you download the Prize Picks app, and they have a brand new offer for all Punt and Pass listeners this season. All you have to do is deposit $5. First time sign up, deposit $5. Jake, you get $50 instantly. $50 instantly when you deposit $5 if you're a first time signer upper of the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT, deposit $5. You get $50 instantly. You don't even need to win your lineup. How about that? They're giving you $50 for a $5 deposit. Once you play that $5 lineup, you'll get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is simply the best, and it gets better. If you go onto the app right now, the menu just continues to grow. It's sick. We're going to give you our Prize Picks entry later on in the show. Mine is focused on the AFLAC kickoff game, Georgia, Clemson, Atlanta, noon Eastern. There are so many different props that you can get on there to guess if you're going to go more or less on, build out your entry, and you can win real money. There is simply nothing better. This is a big year. It's a huge year for Punt and Pass. It's a huge year for Prize Picks as well. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT once you deposit $5. You get $50 instantly. So thank you, Prize Picks. Stick around. Our Prize Pick entry is coming up in the show. All right, we need a little update, Mr. Fromm, because when we talked on Monday, we were a little unsure of what your future would look like just even today, this week. You were with the Detroit Lions. You had some success in that final preseason game. What's up, brother? Where are you at? What's the story? Talk to us.
Yeah, it was tough last week, kind of biting my tongue. And, you know, during this whole NFL cut situation, you just have no idea how things are going to play out. Knew after meeting with those guys, they wanted to have me back. And then signed on, obviously, to the practice squad. That was yesterday. So, man, super pumped about that going in the fall. Great team, great organization, great dudes in the building, great head coach. So, man, I'm so pumped about this. I mean, shoot, 2 weeks ago, me and you were talking about, you know, what the fall looks like and trying to get an office set up and all that good stuff. And now I'm playing football this fall. So crazy turn of events. And, man, just super blessed to have this opportunity and, like, play football, man. It's something you don't get to do for a while. And, you know, you know it. You've been in it. And I'm excited to get to do another year.
Absolutely, man. Year five for Jake Fromm, mm-hmm. now with the Detroit Lions. So I would have to go ahead and assume that a lot of Georgia Bulldogs fans or Jake Fromm fans are now Detroit Lions fans. Week one, you guys are hosting the Los Angeles Rams. Of course, Matthew Stafford coming back to town. So that'll be an awesome game. We're fired up. A lot of expectations in Detroit this season. So congratulations, Mr. Fromm. Another year in the NFL. That is so awesome. And you get to be home this weekend because it's Labor Day weekend. Obviously, absolutely. The NFL offseason's changed a little bit. There's less preseason games, so there's a weekend off before things kick off. And what a great weekend to be back in the state of Georgia. I always think Atlanta, Labor Day, Jake, one of the best weekends of the year. There is so much going on in the city of Atlanta this weekend. I know we have listeners all across the Southeast. Some are probably in our city of Atlanta just for this specific weekend. But get this, dude, a huge weekend on tap. The Tour Championship is at Eastlake, the top 30 golfers in the FedEx standings. I think the purse is like $30 million. That's awesome. I'll be out there on Friday. DragonCon is going on. I don't know if you're familiar with DragonCon, Jake, but if you go downtown Atlanta this weekend, it's a pretty interesting scene. I'll just say that. A very, very interesting scene. It's on the level of a Comic-Con, but it's in Atlanta. Big time tourist attraction. So the convergence of SEC and ACC football fans, Georgia and Clemson, of course, playing on Saturday, and then the diehard DragonCon attendees. It is a sight to behold. No question about it. That Aflac kickoff game does bring in two awesome fan bases, Georgia and Clemson. It's Labor Day weekend. Everybody gets Monday off. So we're fired up, man. It's going to be awesome weekend. I'll be at the game again. So holler at me. Let me know what your prize picks entry is. My prize pick entry is just involving players in that Georgia-Clemson game. So we are excited. All right, let's kick things off. Let's go straight into three and out. Jake, thanks for giving us the update on everything that's going on. So first down, and again, I do want to say this. Got to check out our YouTube page. We are stepping up in the ranks, people. We've got a great producer from Odyssey who's built out a sick template for us. The visual experience is much better. You still have to look at Jake and I's ugly faces, but the visual experience on the YouTube channel looks a lot better. First down on three and out, of course. Hey, go ahead, Jake. What you got?
I tell you what, Drew, my face did get a little bit prettier, you know, because I'm hiding the top of my head. I have a nice punt and pass hat on. So we just got some hats in, got a gray, got a white, and got a black one. So, man, pretty excited. You know, we're just kind of
show me that white and black one. I want to see that because absolutely. Maybe we do a little giveaway coming up here. Ooh, yes, sir. I dig that sweet right there. Here.
And then we got the black one as well. So
yes, yes.
We're just you know, kind of teasing it around. We want to look good for you guys. That. It's tough for me and Drew to do. So we're just trying to improve y'all's experience coming here on the Punt Pass podcast.
We've certainly improved that experience. There's no question about it. All right, three and out. Let's go to first down. Thumbing through some news articles before today's show, and one really popped out at me. It was on ESPN.com, and it had to do with Ohio State football and the expectations for Ohio State heading into this season, Jake. Really incredible. And second down, as a teaser, is going to be on the Connor Stallions documentary, the sign-stealing documentary on Netflix, which I got to watch earlier this week. But even that parlays into the expectations in Columbus, Ohio, the hot seat that Ryan Day is on. And essentially, as you can see here, our producer Jake just pulled it up. Look, how many Jakes do we have on this damn podcast? Jake Galley is our producer. Jake Fromm is our co-host. Jake Trotter is the ESPN senior writer that wrote this article. But he wrote a great article. The title of it is Ohio State Went All In This Offseason Solely Motivated by Michigan and their need to beat Michigan. They talk about the $20 million NIL bankroll that Ohio State reportedly has spent on their roster gearing up for 2024. They mentioned the big name rosters that big name transfers, that Ohio State brought in this offseason, led by, of course, Will Howard, the quarterback transfer from Kansas State, Quinshon Judkins, who was an all SEC running back at Ole Miss last year. They're here. And then they convinced some stars to stay. Emeka Egbuka, who's going to be a top 10 probably draft pick, a wide receiver, shocking, great Ohio State wide receivers. He's back for his senior year. Jeremiah Smith, he's a five-star wide receiver. He's playing this year as well. Oh, yeah, Jake. And they hired away Chip Kelly, who was the head coach at UCLA, to come be their offensive coordinator in Columbus. So with all that being said, the article goes into a deep, in-depth expose about how Ryan Day essentially knows he has to beat Michigan this year. And with all the resources that they've spent, they have to win the national title, or he literally might be shown the door.
Man, it's unbelievable. I you know, from afar, I thought I knew what was going on there in Ohio State. Man, I had no idea. The amount of money that they're spending there is incredible. It's unprecedented. I would love to know the NIL spending sheet. Maybe we can find that and bring it up on the next episode. But who's spending what? And I want to see, does it necessarily lead to success this fall? I mean, they've lost to Michigan the last, what, 3 years in a row?
Yeah, yep.
That cannot happen at Ohio State. One, can't lose to Michigan, and you have to win something. And they want to win a national championship. Ryan Day knows it's put up or shut up time. And, man, just like we think the expectations are for Georgia, for Alabama, man, I think right now it's even higher for Ohio State with the names and with the money they're spending. Oh, yeah. And, hey, we hadn't been great necessarily these last couple years. It's put up or shut up time.
It's definitely put up or shut up time. And it's interesting when you read that article, new athletics director Ross Bjork was hired from Texas A&M to Ohio State in January of this year. And the first meeting he had probably, of course, would be with the head football coach, Ryan Day. And that's where Ryan Day told him, I need all-in commitment from our donors, from our athletic association for NIL funding. He just said it. I need one thing. It's money. And then they hit the transfer portal hard. They started getting these big name guys to come into Columbus and be a part of Ohio State. And then they go get Chip Kelly, who, of course, was the head coach of a Power 5 team, now a Power 4 team at UCLA. He's demoting himself and going to Ohio State to be the offensive coordinator. All of this to beat Michigan. Michigan, of course, has been kicking them around for the last couple of years. And then when they beat them a year ago, when they were both undefeated, Michigan goes on, cakewalks the Big Ten championship, beats Alabama in the semifinal, and then, of course, takes care of business and wins the national championship. That just put a dagger into Ohio State's back, because when you think about Ohio State, Jake, very good team, winning 11, 12 games a year. They just haven't been able to get past Michigan, and that has been their Achilles heel. Simply unacceptable, and they're throwing dollars at the problem. Is Ryan Day the guy who can take all these resources, a good coach by any stretch? Yep. Is he the guy that can get over the hump? Because this is one of those intangibles where you're like, man, I don't know if he's got what it takes to simply get past it. And I loved what Emeka Egbuka said. Emeka Egbuka, again, who's an All-American wide receiver. He'll be a top 10 NFL draft pick. He said in this article, hey, the reality of the situation is that nobody at Ohio State right now on this roster has won a big game in their career. We won a lot of games, but we haven't won a big game. That, to me, was very telling.
Yeah, I mean, that's important to note, important to realize. They're going all in. And I think they're really hitting it at a sweet spot in time with this NIL stuff, right? So it's really easy to go to these donors and these boosters at this time and say, hey, we need you to get over the hump. You know, whereas if you kind of go backwards and you look at Georgia, it's like, what do you need me for? You're already there. Why do I need to spend X amount plus?
Yeah,
because you're already there at that spot. And so I think with this NIL stuff, there's a lot of money being spent, and I think they could even ask for more if they needed it moving forward.
So in 2021, the Ohio State Buckeyes went 11-2. They lost two regular season games early in the season against Oregon, and then they lost, of course, to Michigan. That was the first year Jim Harbaugh was able to get over the hump and beat Ohio State. In 2022, Ohio State went 11-2. They lost to Michigan, and then, of course, they lost that crazy game, the semifinal against Georgia. Guess what? In 2023, they went 11-2 again. They lost to Michigan, and then everybody sat out in the bowl game, and I think they lost to Mizzou in the Cotton Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that was their bowl game last season. So, with all that being said, Ryan Day, in the last 3 years, has gone 11-2, 11-2, 11-2. He's lost to one team each of those 3 years, that being Michigan, and now he's on the hot seat. So it's going to be a fascinating season in Columbus, no question about it. They kick off this weekend with a couple of patsies. They got Akron, then they got Western Michigan. So they will be at the top or near the top of the college football playoff rankings all season long. Something to watch for sure. All right, let's go to second down. Jake, I know you've been busy this week. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. I'm sure you've seen some of the trailers. But the Connor Stallions sign-stealing documentary on Netflix, part of their Untold series, I found to be completely fascinating. You see right here, Jared Ramsey wrote an article about it for the Detroit Free Press, Michigan sign-stealing, four big things we learn from the Connor Stallions Netflix documentary. I think it's important to set the stage here, okay, Jake? Connor Stallions is a brilliant person. There's no question about it. The guy grew up a diehard Michigan fan, like diehard Michigan football fan, kind of a crazed sports fan, played sports in high school, was voted by his peers senior year to be, you know, most likely to succeed type person. Then he goes off to the Naval Academy. So he gets a great education in Annapolis. Look, say what you want about the Armed Forces Academies. They are very tough to get into. And once you get in, you're getting a top flight education. And of course, you're learning about discipline and all the other things that go along with those great academies, those service academies. Connor Stallions took it upon himself, Jake, to find a way to help out Michigan. And then he paired it with what he learned in the Naval Academy from a reconnaissance perspective, from a intelligence perspective. And he essentially, at a high school coach's clinic, Jake Fromm, went up to a Michigan coach and said, how can I help you? I want to be of help. And they were like, yeah, show up tomorrow. We'll figure out something for you to do. And then he just started watching film. And he was like, I think I know what they're doing based on the All-22, based on the TV copy. And then he goes full tilt boogie, creates this massive play call sheet, starts helping out the coaches. They start finding a lot of success. It was really impressive to see just how dedicated this dude was, how smart he was. He talked about the underground network of sign stealers. I'm putting air quotes up, sign stealers at these elite football schools who are sharing information to help one another. It's crazy, dude. It really is fascinating.
Man, I love how you set the scene here. I mean, because like you said, we have a really smart, intelligent guy with a want to, and yes, then a love, you know, topped with a love for Michigan, right? So he's just, he's all in. I mean, this is borderline religious cult stuff. And yes, he's all in. He's burning the bridges, and it doesn't matter, whatever it takes to win. So coupled with, you know, him being very, very smart and understanding, hey, if I can understand the relationship between this signal and what they're doing on the field, and then create this data table of, hey, this means this, and process it really fast. I mean, why would you not use it? And that's the thing, is that it happens. You know, we've talked about it and mentioned before last fall, the sign stealing stuff happens, right? How much do they use it, right? Like, how much time are you going to put into doing it? But obviously this guy, Connor, had all the time in the world to do it. I loved watching the trailer of him. I don't recall going to this game. Yes. You know, and then there's like Portnoy who gets an interview and he's like, oh yeah, that was Connor. He told me it was him. So can't wait to watch this. I've watched plenty of trailers about it, and I cannot wait to dive in and watch this.
Yeah, what Jake's alluding to is the famous clip and video that came out of what looked like Connor Stallions being on the sideline of Central Michigan, dressed in Central Michigan coaches gear to advance scout Michigan State. There was some video that came out, and it looked like Connor Stallions was on the sideline, maybe with some sunglasses on that probably had some sort of camera ability to steal the signs directly at field level. And this was one of my favorite parts of the documentary. He was researching when the NCAA was coming after him. And there's two parts of this, so hang with me. One was he was researching lawyers that have had success with litigation against the NCAA. So he reached out to this one guy. I forget what state he was in, but this guy was like, boom, yes, I hate the NCAA. I will help you. This lawyer, probably one of the best moves Connor Stallion made, said, I'll do it pro bono. You don't even have to pay me. That's how much I hate the NCAA. The way he protected Connor Stallions in some of these meetings, you know, Connor Stallions was being asked point blank, were you the person on the sideline of that Central Michigan game? He just said, I do not recall. I do not recall being at that game. That reminds me of the Wolf of Wall Street scene when they're asking all the bankers, you know, did you do this? And they just said, I do not recall. I do not recall. I do not recall. So that was great legal advice from Connor Stallion's attorney. And then the attorney flips the script and they say, well, how did you get this manifesto? How did you get all this information from Connor Stallion's? He didn't share it with anybody. He never gave his gigantic call sheet of signs. He never gave his manifesto. However, the NCAA had it. How did this happen? So the attorney starts digging in and finds out that Ryan Day, Ohio State's head coach, his brother is a private investigator. They start searching and saying, did somebody hack Connor Stallion's email address, essentially put all this information together and lay it into the lap of the NCAA and say, go get Michigan? Who would want to do that? Well, of course, that's only Ohio State. So you have to watch this Netflix documentary, because while the NCAA is grilling Connor Stallion's and he's just saying, I do not recall, the attorney is going, you know, we would love some answers to understand where you got your information from. How did you guys get access to this? Did it come from somebody associated with Ohio State? And these NCAA people are like, we're not allowed to share that information. It's so clear. And their attorney's like, all right, we're done here. You guys have a great weekend. We're out of here. He was crushing these NCAA people. And I love when he was just like, I hate the NCAA. Fascinating. Connor Stallion's having to watch Michigan win the national championship up in the stands in Houston. That was a little gut-wrenching. You know, everybody steals signs. That was one of the points of the entire documentary, Jake. And the other point was that Connor Stallion's a brilliant dude. You know, in his eyes, he didn't do anything wrong. And when they suspended him, Michigan kept winning. So yeah, they took it upon themselves to prove that it wasn't just the sign stealing that was attributable for their success. But dude, I'm telling you, if you find some time this weekend, it's like an hour and 20 minutes. Very, very worth the watch, I promise.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to check it out. I did see a graphic of Harbaugh's record before and after Connor Stallion. So hey, he definitely helped. How much help was it? I have no idea. Maybe it was just his presence, or maybe it had a lot to do with the sign stealing. I don't know. But the whole Ryan Day, private investigator, brother, come, and that's so interesting. Ooh, cannot wait to watch this.
Yeah, you can't ignore that. You cannot ignore the dots that are connected there. Oh, yeah. And the lawyer's essentially saying Ohio State did this, and that could be a criminal case. That could be a criminal case. So really, really good stuff. I thought Netflix did a great job. And that graphic you're talking about, I believe, was made by our buddy Chris Marler. So shout out at Vern Funquist on Twitter. All right, third down. This is a great one. I got a great chuckle out of this. Dabo Swinney, who, of course, will be in the news this weekend, Clemson's head coach, he was talking about a phone call he got a couple of years ago because he was asked about playing tough games in week one. Okay, what's it like to play a tough game? What's the preparation like? And he reckoned back to a phone call he got after he lost to Georgia in 2014 in week one. And I don't really think anybody would expect who that phone call came from. We got a clip right here that Jake will play for us.
Remember, I think I told y'all Coach Spurrier called me one time. We both got beat and matter of fact, it was the Georgia game. We played Georgia in 14 and he called me on that. And I think they played Texas A&M and just got boat raced the whole game. Like all four quarters. And it's this classic Spurrier. Still got the voicemail. And he calls me and he's just like, and then I call him back and he's just like, yeah, I don't know why we schedule these games. I tell you, I just don't know. We go play that team over here down the road, get a little win. Everybody's happy. Get to work out some of them problems. Cause you know, there're going to be some problems. Yeah, I don't know why we schedule these games like this right out of the gate, you know. And he says, you know, yeah, but hey, look, I'm just calling you. Yeah, it looked like y'all got your ass kicked for, you know, one quarter. We got ours kicked for four quarters. But hey, just wanted to tell you, hey, just keep your head up. You know, a long season ahead. We'll keep moving. Classic Spurrier.
That's just so good, Jake Fromm. Great impression by Dabo as well there. I don't know how the Clemson fans or the South Carolina fans will feel about that, considering that is a hated in-state rival. But Coach Spurrier, so funny, so authentic. I get to spend time with him every season down at the Georgia-Florida game where he comes and speaks. And, man, he gets after people. He ribs people. That's just, that's so great. Well, you know, we got our ass beat for four quarters. You just got your ass beat for one. It's just, it's great. I appreciated Dabo sharing that story.
No, I love that. It kind of humanizes the whole thing, the whole experience. It kind of shows a little bit of the kind of fellowship that they have as college football coaches. You know, there's not too many people that really understand kind of what they go through and the shoes that they're in. So kind of cool that they get to kind of share that together. Funny is in 2014, I was actually at that game when Clemson played Georgia at Georgia. Recruit. Yep. And then, going throughout my recruiting process, Spurrier was definitely one of the coolest guys to meet. You could just tell he had been there. He had done that, had this kind of charisma about him and, hilarious as well. And the last thing I do want to touch on is, as good as that impression was that Dabo did, that's definitely not the first time he's ever impersonated Spurrier. He definitely practices that in the shower. Got to. He's definitely been there.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. He absolutely has done that before. And Coach Spurrier, I mean, to his credit, he won a lot of football games, and he's not afraid to share his opinion, calling another head coach and saying they got their ass beat for a quarter. That's classic. I mean, obviously, he used to call head coach Ray Goff Ray Goof at Georgia. He does these, like, chalk talks down at this Georgia-Florida event put on by Danny Werfel. And, like, Danny's up there. Of course, Danny Heisman Trophy winner just absolutely lit it up from a statistical standpoint, an all-time great college football Hall of Famer. And he's like, well, yeah, you know, we just had an idea that we just throw the football down the field and we'd probably catch it more times than we wouldn't. And we just throw it into the end zone and we'd probably score more touchdowns than the other team would. And, like, that was just his philosophy, like a true run and gun, however they called it. Coach Spurrier is he's great. And I know we were poking fun of him a week ago when he was calling Kalen DeBoer Jalen DeBoer and then saying Alabama plays Texas this season, which of course they don't. So Coach Spurrier, keep it locked in, man. Come on. You're too sharp to let those kind of slip ups happen. All right. Before we get into our prize pick segment, I do just have to throw this one in there. Right before we started recording this morning, ESPN released their new college football theme song for the SEC on ABC. My phone blew up. I had a couple people, one former Georgia golfer, Lowry Thomas, hit me up, and he was like, is this for real? And I didn't know what he was talking about, so I clicked it, and I listened to the new SEC on ABC theme song, and my first thought, Jake, was, what the hell is this shit? I thought it was awful. I was like, what is this? This is terrible. It'll probably grow on me, I guess. It sounded like video game music. There was no umph to it. There was no gravitas. Yeah. It was like horns and flutes. And I don't know. I made you listen before we jumped on. It was kind of upsetting.
Yeah. I mean, first thing that popped in my head, it was just lame. I don't know like what else to say other than it was just flat. It was lame. It didn't get you going at all. No. It didn't get me excited to watch it. Maybe it's so old school that it'll grow on everybody, but only time will tell. But I am very pessimistic about the outlook of this theme song.
Public reaction not very good right now, and ESPN's PR Twitter account said the SEC on ABC franchise is bringing back a fan favorite from the early 2000s, revamping the old school ESPN college football theme song. So they tried to revamp it, but I feel like they dampened it. It was not a revamp. It was a dampener, okay? Just there's more that needs to be there. Again, will it grow on me? Yes. Will it fire me up later on this season? Yes, of course. But not a good first reaction. Come on. You got to test this stuff out. I don't know how they could just expect the public to fall all over it. So there you go. All right. Let's do our prize pick segment, Jake. I'm fired up. Week one of college football. It's time to win our first prize picks entry. And I'm doing things a little bit different to start, okay? I want to get on the board. That's exactly what I want to do. It's week one. There's a great slate of games. You know, you want a successful first drive. You want to get a couple of first downs. Hey, we'll take three points. A touchdown's even better. And that's where I'm going with our prize picks entry in week one. Again, this episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by Prize Picks. If you haven't signed up for Prize Picks yet, download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT, and when you deposit just $5, if you play one $5 entry, you get $50 immediately. I don't know where else you could get a deal like that, but they're giving it to the Punt and Pass listeners. So again, use the promo code PUNT when you download the Prize Picks app. Deposit $5, play a $5 lineup, and you get $50 instantly just for playing. Of course, as you know, you can do cross-sport entries. You can win up to 10x your money. It's going to be a fascinating and fun season at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest owned, independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. It's the most easiest and exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. You know that. Pick more or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Are you ready for my week one Prize Picks entry?
Dude, I'm pumped. Let me hear it.
All right. So I'm going to the Clemson, Georgia game. I'll be inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So please, if you see me, tail this. We'll high five each other and we'll have fun. Clemson has to get Phil Maffa rolling. Yeah, they lost Will Shipley, their running back from a year ago. Phil Maffa can tote the rock. The kid's a stud. There's no doubt about it. They will have to lean heavily on Phil Maffa in order to, one, control the clock, two, keep Georgia's offense off the field, and three, grind out the game. Right now on Prize Picks, Phil Maffa, more or less than 85.5 rushing and receiving yards. He's going to go over that. Cade Klubnik, not going to be a guy airing it out downfield. Expect a lot of tosses out of the backfield, maybe a screen or two there. Get Phil Maffa on an option route underneath that second level, Jake. Dump it off to him. He's going to get a lot of carries as well. I love Phil Maffa, Clemson's running back, more than 85.5 rushing and receiving yards. So that's box one. Box two, that's filling out this entry, Dylan Bell. Dylan Bell, I think, could be the X factor for Georgia all season long. He had a great season a year ago, maybe overshadowed by some of the other skill players on Georgia's offense. Dylan Bell, more than a half a rushing or receiving touchdown. Bell's getting in the end zone. I think so, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan Bell is getting in the end zone this weekend, whether he is out of the backfield, which we've seen in the past. And again, Georgia's running back room a bit banged up at the moment. But he is probably one of Carson Beck's most reliable weapons on the perimeter. Expect him to see a lot of action. I think Dylan Bell scores this weekend, whether it's at the wide receiver or the running back position. Dylan Bell, more than a half a rushing or receiving touchdown. So that's it. It's a two-pick entry to kick things off right here. Week one, Punt and Pass. Prize Picks, of course, our presenting sponsor. Phil Maffa, more than 85.5 rushing and receiving yards. Dylan Bell, more than a half a rushing or receiving touchdown. A $25 entry, Jake, wins you $119.
Yeah, that is what you call layups, my friend. Woo! Those are layup. Easy. Those are 100%ers. And I love the Dylan Bell one even more because of the depth in the running back room isn't up to par of what it normally is. And I think they're going to have to find a way to get him involved in the run game. Jet sweeps in the backfield, straight wide zone handoffs. You're going to see it.
Love it. Love it. So that's it. And I'll post that on social media as well, at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at From Jake. Phil Maffa, more than 85.5 rushing and receiving yards. Dylan Bell, more than a half a rushing or receiving touchdown. So we're on the board week one, Punt and Pass. Holler at your boys. All right, let's go inside the five. We do it every Thursday episode. We give you the five best games of the week. We pick them over. We'll pick the spread. We'll pick the total. And we're kicking things off noon Eastern Saturday, Atlanta, Georgia, Aflac kickoff game, 14th ranked Clemson, Jake, against the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia's a 13.5 point favorite. Okay. Under two touchdowns. The over-under is 48.5 yards. A lot of change on Georgia's offense. We talked about it on Tuesday's episode or Monday's episode. No more Ladd. No more Brock Bowers. Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint's gone. They lost a lot to the NFL on the defensive side of the ball as well, but Kirby Smart has come to be known as a great recruiter. He absolutely reloads. Clemson's got a lot to prove. It should be a really good game.
I think it's going to be a great game, and I hate to say this, but this is just the Georgia way, and I think it'll start off slower than expected. You lost weapons, you lost Brock, you lost Ladd. The running back situation right now isn't as explosive as it could be, and I think it's going to start slower than we all want it to. Now, if they go down like they did Oregon a couple years ago and they score on their first seven drives, man, great, high five. But I'm trying to set expectations to a an understandable level. I think they're going to have to work out some kinks there in the first quarter, get going a little bit in the second half, make adjustments, and they'll take care of business. I think they're definitely going to cover all that good stuff. I think they're going to handle everything, but I think it's just going to take a second to get going.
You know, it's just the thing that sticks out to me the most is the direction of these programs since the last time they played. The last time they played, the Belk Kickoff Classic in Charlotte 2021, Georgia had yet to win a national championship. Yep. Georgia had yet to get over the hump. Clemson was coming in as one of the dynasty teams. Two-time national champion, franchise quarterback after franchise quarterback, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, riding high. They were ranked higher than Georgia in that game. Clemson was 3. Georgia was 5. Georgia, of course, wins that game 10-3. Chris Smith, pick 6. Georgia's defense swallows up DJU. That was a huge win to kick off what's been a remarkable run for the Georgia Bulldogs. And since then, Clemson has gone the opposite way. Dabo Swinney not involved in the transfer portal whatsoever. Clemson not winning ACC championships, not playing in the college football playoff, not contending for national championships. That was an inflection point for both programs. And now they're back kicking things off again just 3 years later in 2024. Georgia's lost 2 games in the last 3 seasons. Georgia has the same amount of national championships as they do losses in the last 3 seasons. That's crazy to think of, but it's the reality of the situation. Clemson has so much to prove. And to me, they just don't have the dudes that they used to have. I mean, when you looked at Clemson's roster, dude, like the wide receivers they used to have, the defensive linemen they used to have, not even mentioning Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, like they had dudes. I've seen some guys say, you know, they got 4 and 5 stars still all over the roster. Georgia has more. Georgia has more depth. Georgia's lines are so much bigger. Is Trevor Etienne going to play for the Dogs? I think he will. It's just a hunch. I have no inside information. Kirby Smart always plays this stuff very close to the vest, especially when it's talked about suspensions and some charges getting dropped over the offseason. But if Trevor Etienne plays, that takes such pressure off Carson Beck. You know Carson Beck's going to feel the pressure, Jake. He's a Heisman favorite. He's lost some of his guys. Everybody's looking at him. There's going to be tons of NFL scouts in the building. Like, that natural pressure is 100% there for Carson Beck. If he's able to just hand that ball off, like we just did with our prize pick entry, get a couple of first downs, get feeling good. That's where I think the game plan really opens up. You know Coach Bobo, Jake. He wants to run the ball to set up play action and then start throwing it to get the game out of hand for the opposition. So I like Georgia. I like Georgia to cover. I think like a 31-17 makes a lot of sense. I don't know if Clemson's going to score 20-plus. I think Georgia scores probably close to 40. 35, 40 points. So call it 34-17. Call it 35-20. Okay. We'll give Clemson 20 points. That's a cover. That's a comfortable win for the Dogs. I think when it comes to the preparation and the expectations of this Georgia team, they far outweigh what Clemson has. And just from a talent standpoint, Georgia's got better players. I trust Kirby more than I trust Dabo. Yes, I know Clemson's got tons to prove, but that's where I'm looking at this AFLAC kickoff game, Jake. I think Georgia wins pretty comfortably.
Yeah, for sure. You know, final thoughts here on the game. I think it's going to be 38-10. If I'm looking at a coach-to-coach situation, I think the upper hand is for Kirby right now. And if we're talking player-to-player, it's definitely Georgia right here. I mean, there's kind of no question about that as far as recruiting classes have been and just the way they've developed talent over the past couple of years. So, I mean, for me, this is pretty clean, clear, and cut. So, I mean, this is Dogs all the way, 38-10. I just think it's going to take them a second to figure things out on offense to get there, but they will certainly.
Georgia.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably right as well. All right, let's go to game number 2. It is an old school rivalry that is being rebirthed here in week 1. The 8th ranked Penn State Nittany Lions are heading to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. This is another noon kickoff over on Fox. Penn State's an 8-point favorite. The total here is 52 points, and this will be a good one. The atmosphere should be live. I saw today that Pat McAfee, I believe, is broadcasting from Morgantown tomorrow, and they've canceled public schools in Morgantown because they expect the traffic and the congestion around the city to be so severe. Obviously, McAfee went to Morgantown or went to West Virginia. They shut down public schools, like no class tomorrow, because McAfee's in town and they're getting ready for Penn State. So the atmosphere will be absolutely live. And for West Virginia, Neil Brown, their head coach, who's going into his sixth year, this guy had one of the hottest of seats a year ago. They went 9-4. And now West Virginia being talked about as a dark horse in the Big 12.
Dude, I like it. I know the quarterback there, Garrett Green. We've trained together down at QB Country in Mobile. And the dude can flat out spin it. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's very Stetson-like in that way. Man, he's a very good athlete and can throw the heck out of it. So I'm kind of on this West Virginia train a little bit. I think, you know, even with Pat showing up, giving him a little extra boost, I think they're going to have a great home field advantage, and I'm going to go West Virginia on this one.
Take those points. Take the home dog getting 8 points. I'm looking for this post on X that I saw. Here it is. I just found it. Since 2005, top 25 teams on the road against unranked opponents in season openers are 29-40 against the spread.
And when's the last time James Franklin and Penn State has won a big game? To me, this is a big game, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Dude. Absolutely a big game. Let me repeat that statistic. Since 05, top 25 teams on the road against unranked opponents in season openers, which fits the bill here for Penn State, traveling to unranked West Virginia. It is the season opener. They're 29-40 against the spread. I love West Virginia as well. Yeah. Yes, Penn State's got a lot of talent. Drew Aller returning at quarterback. Great dual threat at running back in Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen. They got some guys on defense as well. Penn State went 10-3 a year ago. I just think it's a close game. Penn State wins. West Virginia covers. There you go. Simple.
Simple.
That'll be a fun game to watch. I'll be at the Georgia game, but I'll have that one recorded, and I'll definitely check it out. All right, let's go down to the Swamp. A great in-state rivalry here. 3:30 kickoff on ABC. It's right after the Aflac kickoff game between Clemson and Georgia. 19th-ranked Miami, the Fighting Mario Cristobals, are headed down to Gainesville, or up to Gainesville, excuse me, to take on the Florida Gators. Miami is a 2.5-point favorite. The total here is 54 points. And Billy Napier, I know he's one of your guys, Jake. He's feeling the heat right now, bro.
Oh, it's getting hot up under that seat right now. And I'm just thinking here with the schedule that Florida has coming up this fall, like if they don't win this one, how many more are they going to win throughout the season? Like,
yep.
What can their win total be with how tough their schedule is? So this is a great opportunity to win this game at home in a very manageable game. You got Cam Ward, you got Graham Mertz. It's kind of, I want to kind of continue this quarterback theme, but I really don't know which guy I like more. You know, you got Cam Ward, who's a seasoned vet, I think going into his fifth year at least. Playing quarterback, and Graham Mertz got a lot of opportunities to throw the ball around last year. Like watching some of his games, he put up some crazy numbers and some crazy stats, had a lot of ups and downs throughout the season, but can he be more of a consistent guy for the Gators this fall? Going back to the statistic that you just mentioned, dude, yes. give me Florida, because I just feel like their backs are against the wall and they have to win this game.
I totally agree. We have not shared notes before we started recording this, but I totally agree. Not even giving thought to the statistics of ranked teams traveling against unranked teams in season openers, which fits the bill here. Yep. Miami laying 2.5. Florida has to have this.
Have to.
Like they have to. And the Swamp is going to be rocking. I'm not saying Miami's not ready for a crazy environment. Cam Ward, of expectations, transfer quarterback from Washington State. Mario Cristobal, his seat is hot as well. There's tons of hope for Miami heading into this season. And Billy Napier, dude, Florida's head coach, like he's got to deliver a message to his team that says, guys, if we just take the season 1 week at a time, yes, we have one of the hardest schedules in the country. If we take the season 1 week at a time, if we protect our own home turf, the Swamp is a very tough place to play. We all know that. I think Florida is sneaky here. And remember last year, against Utah, at Utah, season opener, Florida was hanging around. But guess what? Utah's a tough place to play. Like, there was a true home field advantage for the Utes in that game. Florida started turning the ball over. I think Florida's defense can force some turnovers. I think Cam Ward might get a little jittery in there, first big start at his new program. And I think the Swamp, I think that home field advantage can kind of keep the Gators in this game. I don't know who wins. I think it's tight. Give me those 2.5 points with the Florida Gators as well. That's going to be a fun game to watch. A great old school in-state rivalry there, Jake.
Yeah, 3:30 ABC. It's going to be going.
All right, after that game, again on ABC, a great triple header to kick things off. You'll have to hear that theme music a lot of times this week.
Yeah.
Would love to hear your thoughts. So let me know what you think about that at Drew Butler on Instagram and Twitter. This could be the game of the weekend. Seventh-ranked Notre Dame at 20th-ranked Texas A&M. Again, late kick, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Texas A&M, a three-point home favorite. The over-under, 46 points. A good one here, man. A lot to talk about. I'll just kick it off with saying this. Riley Leonard, the transfer quarterback from Duke, now the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. The former head coach at Duke, Mike Elko, now the head coach at Texas A&M. So a lot of familiarity between those two. Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame's head coach, heading into his third year. Look, if Notre Dame wins this game, they're going to the college football playoff. If Notre Dame wins this game, they are going to the college football playoff because their schedule is cake for the entire rest of the season. And Mike Elko has a great chance here to get a hallmark victory in his very first coaching appearance at Texas A&M.
So I really like Riley Leonard as a quarterback here, but I really like Mike Elko as a head football coach and more specifically as a defensive game planner.
Wow.
I think he's going to do a great job of showing Riley Leonard, a veteran quarterback here in college football, a lot of different looks, a lot of different things. And I think he's going to have a tough time feeling comfortable for his new team in a new system in the first game of the year on the road playing in the Aggie Stadium. So, dude, I really like Texas A&M here. And I think I think it could get ugly. I think we could have another embarrassing moment for Notre Dame. And especially to start things off. I really do.
Wow. I did not see that coming. So Fromm loves A&M and possibly big, as in an embarrassing loss for Notre Dame. I want to ask you this as a quarterback, because I heard the same thing. I was on the air earlier this week and people were talking about Mike Elko, this great defensive mind. He knows Riley Leonard. He's going to scheme some stuff up. But I went the other way. I said, does Riley Leonard not know exactly what Mike Elko is going to throw at him? Did he not go up against Mike Elko's defenses day after day after day in practice? Mike Elko might know Riley Leonard's tendencies, but you got to be joking yourself if you don't think Riley Leonard knows exactly what Mike Elko likes to do in specific game situations. So I don't know. I just think Notre Dame might have something up their sleeve. This line stinks out loud. I mean, you got a top 10 team as a dog on the road. I know Texas A&M is no slouch at the 20th ranked position, but Vegas is telling you these two teams are evenly matched. A&M gets the home field advantage. They're a three-point favorite. That's kind of the standard deviation for point spreads when it comes to home teams. I gotta zig when you zag. I'm taking Notre Dame with the points. Yeah, I think Marcus Freeman in his third year, that's important to me. He's finding some consistency at Notre Dame. I think Riley Leonard has a little bit of leg up on Mike Elko. Like, that's just how I feel. It'll be a fun game to watch. I'm taking the Fighting Irish inside Kyle Field. Give me those 3 points. These are two blue blood programs, two great historical programs in college football. Awesome way to end that first Saturday of week one. All right, so let's finish things up with the Sunday night game. It's Labor Day weekend, folks. We got college ball starting Thursday night all the way through Monday night. Another top 25 matchup. The 23rd ranked Southern Cal Trojans are taking on the 13th ranked LSU Tigers, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Sunday night, it's the Las Vegas Modelo kickoff game. So this one's in Allegiant Stadium. I have to say this first things foremost. You ever seen that meme of like bachelorette parties and bachelor parties and they say Vegas ain't ready for us? Mm. You ever seen that meme?
Yeah.
Of course, Vegas is always undefeated in those instances. However, I will say Las Vegas literally may not be ready for LSU fans to descend on Sin City. Those folks are crazy. They could drink Las Vegas dry. They're going to have a blast. I'm kind of jealous I'm not out there just partaking in the activities because they know how to get after it. Las Vegas literally may not be ready for the Bayou Bengal fan base to get into Sin City. LSU's a 4.5-point favorite, Jake. The over-under, a higher one here, 64.5 points.
Yeah, the LSU fans, they're just built different, as some would say.
Yes.
I really like the quarterback here situation with Garrett Nussmeier. Man, I think when he came in that SEC championship game 2 years ago for Jaden Daniels and just, I mean, honestly, like, was moving right down the field and torching the Georgia defense. I think this is going to be a big moment for him because I think this is a guy who's always been ready, could have definitely transferred and gone somewhere else. But he knew what he wanted. He wanted to be the quarterback here. And I think he's going to come out and show the world why he is going to be a top-tier quarterback in college football this year.
LSU has lost their four last season openers. Can you believe that? LSU has started the last four seasons 0-1, and some of those instances, they find a way to kind of snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, so to speak. So Lincoln Riley, as a coach with a lot to prove, he's got a ton to prove. Their quarterback, Miller Moss Jr., opportunity to kind of situate himself as a bona fide starting QB at Southern Cal, which, of course, they've had many great ones. And Brian Kelly getting comfortable down on the bayou, so he wants to definitely make LSU. I don't know if you could really call LSU as a dark horse in the SEC this year. Again, 16 teams, no conferences. Top two teams go to the SEC championship game. Tons of talent, tons of speed. I cannot get LSU's atrocious defense from a year ago out of my mind. I mean, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. And I think Lincoln Riley is going to have the ability to scheme some stuff up, Jake, put some points on the board. I love the over here. So take the over 64.5 points because I know Garrett Nussmeier, as you just said, Duke can spin it and move the guys down the field. LSU's going to put some points on the board. So will USC. It's indoors in Las Vegas. And I like USC as well. So give me those 4.5 points. Where are you going, LSU, or are you taking SC?
Yeah, so I'm LSU here on this one. Okay. There's just too much going on for USC for me. Moving on from Caleb Williams. Their defense historically has not been very great under Lincoln Riley. And like you said, LSU has lost the last four. Brian Kelly's like, hey, we got to stop this bleeding here. We can't keep doing this. We got to get ahead on a set of downs here. Like we gotta start off with a positive play. That's what they're looking to do here in game one. And last thing I will say is Allegiant Stadium there in Las Vegas is a very, very cool venue to play. It's very neat. The grass that they roll in and out of that place is phenomenal, and it'll be a great experience, great playing experience, one for both teams, both players, and the fan base as well.
Yeah, keep in mind, SC has a new defensive coordinator, De'Anton Lynn. They hired him in the offseason. He was leading one of the best defenses in the country last year. So it's going to be a new-look SC defense. Clearly, LSU is going to want to make a better effort than they did on the defensive side of the ball last year. Growing pains, assumingly, for both sides on defense. Lots of talent, always lots of talent on the offensive side of the ball for both of these squads. So, again, I like the over. I think it's high scoring, and I think that means SC keeps it close. A great game to tune into on Sunday night, dude. It's going to be awesome. What a great weekend of college football we have coming up. Thanks so much for tuning in to this kickoff episode. Week one's here. It's a week one preview of Punt and Pass. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. Check out our new look YouTube page. Shout out to the folks at Odyssey, our producer who's on with us right now, Jake Galley. We got Jake's all over the place on this pod. It looks great. Thanks for tuning in. Give us a little subscribe on the YouTube channel as well. And last but not least, a huge shout out to Prize Picks. Year six as a partner, an exclusive partner of the Punt and Pass podcast. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. Tell your friends. Use the promo code PUNT. Jake's got a new Prize Picks hat on his head right now. Maybe we'll do a little giveaway if you can show us that you downloaded the Prize Picks app. You use the promo code PUNT when you deposit just $5 and you play a $5 entry. You get $50 instantly. You pick 2 to 6 players, predict if they go more or less on their stat projection, and you can win 10 times your money. It's awesome. We gave out our 2-pick entry earlier in the show. Phil Moffa, more than 85.5 rushing yards and receiving yards, and Dylan Bell, more than a half a rushing or receiving touchdown. So the Aflac kickoff game will be great to watch. And if you're on Prize Picks and use that promo code PUNT, you can make it a profitable one as well. Jake, thanks so much, brother. Anything on the way out?
Man, no, I'm pumped. It's going to be a great weekend, starting from noon all the way to Sunday night. It's going to be great. Pumped about these hats. Let us know what you think. Man, dude, we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have an awesome Labor Day, and we will talk to you on Tuesday next week. See ya.
Yep. Yeah.